Our Father in heaven, we praise you, we worship you, the great Almighty God. We thank you we can be gathered together as your children to worship you this day. That we can join our hearts with so many in different parts of the world to express our love for you, our gratitude toward you. We know that all this is possible because you first reached out to us while we were yet in darkness and sin. We thank you that Christ not only died for our sins, but he rose again from the dead, ascended on high, exalted, and he has also poured forth the Holy Spirit. We pray that you will help us to know how we ought to respond to you, how we ought to live our lives before you, how we can rise up to your high calling and enter into all the riches of life, the spiritual abundance that you intend for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit this time to your hands and we pray that you be pleased with our midst and that you have the freedom to speak to us. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 211th message. The subtopic for today, strong motivation to align your heart with the posture of God and truth. Strong motivation to align your heart with the posture of God and truth. Have you aligned your heart with the posture of God and truth? Do you know how to go about it? In this concluding message on the posture of God and truth, I will consider with you compelling reasons for strong motivation to do so. And after you've done so, you can continue to deepen and strengthen the posture throughout your time on earth. I'll begin with this remark that aligning our heart with the posture of God and truth is the way to live your life to the optimum in response to God's call, because it is the will of God and the clear teaching of the scriptures. You can say the essence of the posture of God and truth is the appropriate response to God and the truth he has revealed. That is the essence of the posture. It is walking with God in truth. Our lives will then be an expression of worship of God in spirit and truth, and we've seen that God is seeking for such worshippers. In this life, we will be walking in Christ. We will live by the principle of, for to me to live is Christ. We will be abiding in Christ and He in us. We will seek the Lord, understand and experience the fullness of the Spirit, and we learn to walk according to the Spirit with the Spirit of truth. We have seen that all these are different expressions in the scriptures which characterize the life of one who aligns his heart with the posture of God and truth. And we know that all these are central areas revealed to us in the scriptures of how we ought to live our lives. It is a life of commitment to God, a life of deep fellowship with God, a life of true discipleship. In this life, we will run with endurance the race that God has set before us, fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. As we live this life, we will be beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord and constantly being transformed into the image of Christ. And surely that is a key issue that we should be concerned about. Our lives would be a living sacrifice and our minds constantly renewed by the truth We've seen all this in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. When we live our lives in this way, we will, not just we hope to, but we will experience what our heart longs for. All that our heart longs for can become a reality in our hearts, not only for a moment, but it's feasible. And if we actually live our lives in this way, we will constantly experience all that our heart longs for. A life of blessedness, of deep meaning, of true fulfillment, fruitfulness, abiding peace and joy under all circumstances. A truly successful life from a biblical perspective, from the perspective of God's kingdom, an overcoming life. And we will be able to enter into what God intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. This will be our experience because the scriptures assures us, and because the perfect God is our Heavenly Father. And we know that He is the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, all-wise God of truth, love, and righteousness. And all the time He's watching over our lives, sovereignly undertaking. And we know that in the Lord, in Christ, and as we walk with God in truth, there will be the experience of blessedness, true fulfillment, fruitfulness, abiding peace and joy. Because all this comes from the Lord. And God wants to shower us with His blessings. He wants us to enter into, to continually experience the joy and peace of the Lord. And this can be our continuing experience on earth. And at the same time, we'll be laying a good, strong foundation for our time in eternity. And is this not what every child of God long for? And most importantly, we need to recognize that it is God who will bring it to pass. Not just our striving to enter into all these realities. Because the blessings come from God. The peace and the joy comes from God. A life of fruitfulness, only God can bring it about. And God will bring it to pass. This is what we have seen. He has revealed to us that this is His will. He will bring it to pass. This is the way to enjoy God's blessings. This is the life where we'll enjoy and experience the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what the Spirit of God brings about. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's not just our striving very hard to exercise self-control, to exercise love, patience, and so on. It will be a fruitful life because the Lord Jesus says when we abide in Him and He in us, we will produce much fruit. It will come about. God will bring it about. It is a truly satisfying and fulfilling life. Deep in the heart of every believer, there's a deep longing to experience this reality, to enter into, to experience such a life. But many Christians do not have the assurance that it is feasible to experience such a life continually, whatever our context and the situations we go through. And God's children can and do go through trials and at times very, very difficult, including those who deeply love the Lord. And at times, the trials that we go through can seem unbearable. At times, God's children can become anxious, even deeply troubled, fearful, as to what may take place. And at times, God's children may feel very helpless. There are so many things that can take place, that can happen, that's beyond our control. It is very important during such times to know that it is feasible to go through such times meaningfully in fellowship with God and knowing the peace and joy of the Lord. I say important to know during such times it is feasible. Feasible does not mean that it is a reality in the heart of every believer, even those who love God. It is important to know how to enter into this reality, that we need not remain in a state of anxiety, frustration, or despair, or the sense that we are blocked from a life of fruitfulness. And even those who have been walking with God for many years, who love the Lord, situations may take place, or as they anticipate what may take place, they may be quite disturbed. That things can happen whereby their ministry can be blocked. Things may happen, it can be quite terrible, either to them directly or to their loved ones. At times, with spiritual opposition and the attacks of the evil one can be very severe. And even those who have been walking with the Lord for many years can experience anxiety, feel troubled, disturbed, and may at times feel that there is no way out. It is important that we come to recognize that it is feasible. No matter how difficult the situation, it does not mean that when we align our heart with the posture of God and truth, you will not face difficulties. In fact, when we are walking well with God, the spiritual opposition can intensify, and the evil one can do many things to make our lives very difficult. God does not assure us that He will shelter us from all the pains and sufferings and the trials of life. But what He has assured us is that He will be with us in the midst of the trials and the difficulties and the suffering. And the Lord Jesus tells us the peace that He has given to us is not the same as the peace that the world gives to us. The peace, the joy of God is independent of circumstances. It is feasible. But it's not just a feeling of the peace and the joy. It's the peace and the joy of the Lord, and together with that, the knowledge that there is deep meaning in the life that we are living every moment when we are truly one with the Lord, walking with God in truth. All of us long for a life where we can constantly experience a deep sense of God's presence, His enabling and overcoming life. But it is not uncommon for believers, at times to have a deep sense of God's presence, but at other times to lack that sense of God's presence. A lack of the sense of spiritual life and reality. Not just a feeling, but actually, they do not find that there is that continuing experience of the deep presence of the presence of God in their lives, God working in and through their lives. At times God is near, God is enabling them, but at times it is not so. This is not uncommon. Do you have a deep longing that you can always live? Whatever the situation you are going through, continually experience the presence of God and His undertaking for your life. And one important issue has to do with the continuing experience of spiritual life that comes from the Lord. And so this is a question that I will pose. Do we thirst for the water of life? The water of life that comes from the Lord. If we thirst for the water of life, then we need to come to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus tells us, He says, I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. This is in Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. The Lord Jesus, I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. The without cost tells us it is free. You do not have to earn it. We just need to come to Him, ask Him in true faith for this living water. But the condition of our heart must be in the right state to receive this life. And we can summarize that right attitude of heart as the posture of God and truth. The Lord Jesus assures us this not only once. He communicates this area of truth to us in very striking words several times. For example, in John chapter 4 verse 10, the Lord Jesus told the woman of Samaria. He told her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So the Lord Jesus told the woman of Samaria, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, if you knew, because the woman of Samaria did not really know that the person who was speaking to her is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has come to the world, who is able, was able to give her this living water. He says, if you knew, then you would have asked him. Now we know the Lord Jesus. Would we ask him? He says, the Lord Jesus says, you would have asked him if you knew, and he would have given you living water. The asking him communicates a recognition of need. There are also Christians who just go about their lives and they just carry on day by day. But there isn't that thirst. There isn't the recognition of need. So this recognition of need is important. It is this thirst that makes you seek, that makes you really treasure what God wants to give to you. And if you do not have this longing, if you do not really value what God wants to give to you, then it's difficult for your heart to be ready to receive. That is why the Lord Jesus says, do not throw pearls before swine. Do not give what is holy to dogs. And the Lord Jesus tells us in the parable about this man who will sell everything, who will give up everything in order to lay hold of the pearl of immense value. And it is a kind of longing that we need to have, that we really treasure, that which is indeed precious, that God wants to give to us. Do we thirst for spiritual life and reality and spiritual vitality that is real and abiding, not just a feeling that comes and goes? Or are you complacent? Let us now look at a few verses in John chapter 7. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus. John chapter 7, verse 37. The last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Again, he says, if anyone is thirsty. So if you want to experience, you want to really drink of this water, this living water, then there must be that thirst. The Lord Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Come to the Lord Jesus and drink. And the margin says, let him keep coming to me and let him keep drinking. The margin tells us this in the New American Standard Bible is because in the Greek there is the word there that communicates to us. They have different words that they can use, and the word used here is not just something that you do once. You come, you drink, and that's it. It is meant to be a continuing thing. You keep coming, you keep drinking. Now there are those who have never really drunk much at any time. They've never experienced this living water in abundance. But there are those who, at certain points of time in their life, they may have drunk, but they did not maintain it. What God wants, what the Lord Jesus is offering to us, is that we can come to him and keep coming and keep drinking. Or just drink, and then that's it. Keep coming, keep drinking. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. There needs to be that faith in Christ. We recognize who he is. We come to him, knowing that he can give us this living water. And the Lord Jesus tells us, if we come to him in faith in this way, he says it's from his innermost being. From deep within us, we will experience. And it will flow. We experience it in abundance, and it will even overflow. Will flow rivers of living water. Take note of these words. We'll come to this again afterwards. Very important. Not just tricklings of water, but rivers of living water. It's living water. It's from God himself. It's actually the life of God. Verse 39, the Lord Jesus, or the Gospel of John, elaborates, explains. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So at that point in time, the Lord Jesus was not yet glorified. And this experience from the innermost being flow rivers of living water is closely related to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is spoke of the Spirit. At that time, not yet poured forth, because the Lord Jesus was not yet glorified. But for us today, we know that the Lord Jesus has already been glorified. Not only the cross has taken place, the resurrection has also taken place. And that was followed with the ascension and the exaltation of Christ, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We can read all this in Acts chapter 2. So let us come to the Lord Jesus, and he himself testifies that he is the way and the truth and the life. We have looked at this in great detail. If we truly want to know how to live our lives, we need to come to the Lord Jesus and walk in him. He is the way. Not only the way to God the Father, but also the way to the life abundance. And he is the truth. When we come to him, we know him, we learn from him, we not only learn the truth, when we walk in him, we also walk in truth. So the life, as we have already seen, where the heart is aligned to the posture of God in truth, the role of the Lord Jesus Christ is crucial, it is central. When we walk in Christ, we will be walking in truth. Not just recognizing truth as concepts, how we ought to live our lives, but also the living spiritual reality of the life that God wants us to live, to enter into. The life of spiritual abundance in Christ. So if you want to live this life, we have to come to the Lord Jesus and also to experience the fullness of the Spirit, and then learn to walk according to the Spirit. We cannot say we long for this kind of life, but we neglect. We do not pay attention to the scriptural revelation of the role of Christ and how to walk with him and to walk in him, and how to enter into the experience of the fullness of the Spirit, and how to walk according to the Spirit. Let us ensure the foundational basis of our lives, as well as our working out together in church life, is God and truth. At a personal level, we want to enter into the blessings of God, that God's will for our lives can be fulfilled. Then we must ensure the foundational basis of our personal lives is God and truth. And if together in church life, we want to experience, to enter into how God wants us to function and work out together in church life, then together we must align our hearts. With the heart of God, understand the truth that he has revealed, and walk accordingly. This must be our priority, and this is what we must concentrate upon. This is the basis for us to experience the blessings of God. When the foundational basis of our life is God and truth, when the primary motivation of our heart is God and truth, then the Spirit of God will have a lot of freedom to work in and through us. And in that way, we will be able to experience the blessings of God. And not only that, our lives will be a blessing to others. We want to be effective for God. We want to serve God. We want to serve God effectively, that our lives may be a blessing to many, and we may strive very hard, do many things, but all that will be in vain if God does not have the freedom to work deeply in and then through our lives, because it's only God who can bring it to pass. And as we saw just now in John chapter 7 verse 38, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water, not just for ourselves, but it can overflow to others. We'll see more of this soon. But the point I want to add on here is that it's not only for ourselves, but our lives to become a blessing to others. There is a ministry of life, and that is critical. Service, ministry that's of any value at all must be ministry of life. From our innermost being must flow the rivers of living water. We do not have living water in ourselves apart from God. But the wonderful thing that is very clear, if we understand what God wants to communicate to us through the scriptures, is that God wants to work deeply in and through our lives. And that is a very central thrust in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is far from satisfied with those who in a superficial way profess love for him, want to follow him, even if they express it with great enthusiasm. His teaching, at the very heart of it, the basic thrust, is for true discipleship. And that is why, in his teaching, he will concentrate on the things that are important, even if it meant many who profess faith in him will withdraw. Because he is looking for those who are prepared to truly deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow him. God wants to work deeply in and through our lives, and when the foundational basis of our lives is God and truth, it opens the way and provides the basis for God to do so, whatever may be our context. The Almighty God can bring it to pass, and he will do it if there is the proper basis for God to work. God is not working, he's not wanting to, and he was not prepared to work deeply in our lives in order that we can accomplish our own goals or our own desires. God wants to work deeply in our lives to accomplish his perfect will. And that is the way in which we can enter into the fullness of life for ourselves and also fulfill God's will for us and be a blessing to many others. In biblical pictorial form, they can help us to remember, and I want to concentrate on the river of the water of life. Wherever the river of the water of life flows, there is spiritual life and fruitfulness. This is something that comes through very clearly in the scriptures. Let us turn to Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 to 12. This is a passage not often referred to, but is a passage that is helpful for us, that can help us to remember this central truth that I'm trying to communicate today. Ezekiel chapter 7, verses 1 to 12. The context, if you look at the preceding chapters, it has to do with Ezekiel's vision in relation to the house of God, the temple. I just want to concentrate more on the river of the water of life. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 to 12. I do not intend to read every word, so you have to follow carefully. but more to get the thrust of the meaning. Verse 1, Ezekiel was brought to the door of the house, and he says, behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house. This is the house of God, the temple. And the last part of the verse is, from south of the altar. So this tells us the temple is the house of God. And river and water was flowing from under the threshold of the house of God. Verse 2 tells us, the last part, and behold, water was trickling. So it began with water trickling. Then you go on to verse 3, the last part, there was water reaching to the ankles. So now more water. At first trickling, and then reaching the ankles. And by verse 4, there was water reaching the knees. And you go down and you go further, it's water reaching the loins. And verse 5, it tells us enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. Now all this coming from the house of God, flowing forth, trickling, and then reaching the ankles, reaching the knees, reaching the loins, and then it became a river. This is the river of the water of life. And verse 7 tells us, behold, on the bank of the river, there were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said to me, these waters go out. And if you look further, it goes out toward the sea, verse 8. And the waters of the sea become fresh. This river of the water of life is very powerful. Wherever it flows, you see, when it flows into the sea becomes fresh. And verse 9 elaborates. It will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. It brings life. And there will be very many fish. For these waters go there, and the others become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. This is a picture that this river of life, wherever it flows, it brings life. Verse 12. By the river on its bank, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. Take note. Their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. That means it's continually. The life-giving effect is meant to be continuous. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. This life that comes from God is continuous, and it brings life. The leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. It's continuing. That means no matter what the circumstances, it can be very dry weather, whatever it may be. The circumstances can be very difficult. But their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because the water is flowing forth from the sanctuary. That's the critical part. This river of life is from God. And their fruit will be good for food, and their leaves for healing. From what I can understand, this picture here in Ezekiel 47, it is not just a picture whereby you can say, oh, we can draw parallels from it in the Christian life. From what I can see, and I'll substantiate it, God in this passage is telling us, communicating to us a spiritual reality. This is actually a river of life. And this river of life, it has this living water that's flowing forth from the house of God, from the temple. And we'll see, it's actually flowing forth from God Himself. Because we see again this river of the water of life in Revelation 20. 2. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 2. And it's quite clear, it's the same river, talking about the same thing. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 2. Then he showed me a river of the water of life. So here it tells us very clear, it's a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Same. In Ezekiel, it tells us it comes from under the threshold of the house of God, from the altar. Here it tells us it's coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's where it flows. This is the river of the water of life. Verse 2 tells us, in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. This tree of life reminds us in Genesis. There was this tree of life at the very beginning. Here we see again this tree of life. On either side of the river was a tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So there's this river of the water of life coming from the throne of God. And on either side of the river, this tree of life, it was bearing the fruits, yielding again, you see, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So we see the parallel with what was communicated in Ezekiel. Also, it tells us that the leaves will not wither, the fruit will not fail. Every month, you will bear fruit. So same here. And why? It's because of this river of the water of life that's proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It's the life that flows forth from God. It is spiritual life, and linked to this spiritual life is fruitfulness. There's no other way we can be properly fruitful. This fruitfulness that endures eternity, it is fruitfulness in God's kingdom. Fruitfulness from the perspective of God's kingdom. There is no other way. But not in no other way. God, through the scriptures, is telling us that His intention is for us to experience this river of the water of life continually. And if you link this to what we saw just now in John chapter 7, when the Lord Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That God not only wants us to experience the river of living water, but also from our innermost being will flow. We are to minister life to others, but we must first receive this life from God, and continually receiving. As I mentioned just now, the words there, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, is actually, let him keep coming to me and let him keep drinking. That is the way God wants us to live, continually receiving life from Him and then ministering life to others. But we must first experience this abundant life. Not feeling, but actually the river of the water of life flows in. You experience its abundance. It's producing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in our own life. We are enjoying this abundant life in Christ, and then it overflows to others, and it comes from the innermost being. God must have the freedom to work deeply in us. We must concentrate on the nurturing of the inner man. Our inner man, our attitude of heart, must be such that the Spirit of God has that deep freedom to fill us, to work deeply in us and through us. The scriptures paints for us a very consistent picture. and have sought to communicate the life that God intends for us over all these various messages on the posture of God and truth. The blessings of God doesn't just simply come upon us. God just doesn't simply work in and through us without any basis. There are moral, spiritual principles involved. And all these are clearly revealed in the scriptures if we learn how to see them and put them together. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Not just coming into this world that we can be forgiven of our sins. And beyond just our being reconciled to God under the new covenant, it is now feasible for us to experience the unfathomable riches of Christ. I've highlighted to you, this is one key aspect of the preaching and teaching of the Apostle Paul, a key aspect of the mystery that God revealed to him that relates to the unfolding, the fulfillment of God's purposes. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What we can find, what we can experience in the Lord Jesus Christ. The riches in him is unfathomable. It's infinite. But unfortunately, although this is the will of God, God's children, many of us experience very little of what is feasible. And even if you've experienced relatively more than many Christians you meet, know that there's a lot more that's awaiting us. We have a great God. Why live in spiritual poverty? We must never be satisfied in a negative sense. Yes, we need to be contented in a positive sense, but don't be satisfied in a negative sense, that is, become complacent and no longer have this thirst. Paul, even though he had risen to such great heights compared to other Christians generally, he says he still keeps striving according to the power of God who works mightily within him. And the deep longing of his heart that I may know him. He already knew Christ in deep measure, but he longs to know Christ in deeper measure. And the power of his resurrection, again in deeper measure. And it's in that context that he can then enter more deeply in identification with Christ and even the fellowship of Christ's suffering. When we begin to appreciate, understand God's call, and as we align our heart with the heart of God, then we begin the experience to enter into the kind of life God desires of us. But let us realize there is a lot that is waiting for us. Some years back, in the series Appearance and Reality, when I was preaching on the death of Christ and the new covenant, I mentioned what we can find in Christ, that God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's already ours under the new covenant, but we have yet to experience it. Just as a son, the father may have given him a rich inheritance. There's a lot that's already given to him, but the library filled with books, he has yet to read them. There's a whole estate of so many things waiting for him. He has yet to experience, to enjoy, to enter into. There is a lot that is waiting for us. It's also God's desire that we bear much fruit. Not only the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives, but also bear much good fruit and impact on the lives of others. But we must first experience the abundant life, continue to grow, to learn, and and then help many others to enter into this life. So I'll put it this way: we must first experience the abundant life ourselves, and then become a channel of God's blessings to others, introducing and facilitating the flow of the river of life to many others. First experience it, and then introduce it. And not just introduce, tell them, oh, there's such a life. How to facilitate, that is, help to bring about, help them to enter into. To all who are longing for spiritual life and reality, for a deeper experience of God, a deeper meaning in their walk with God. We can compare this to like opening up irrigation channels for the water from the river to flow into and irrigate parched fields. And it's in our own country, we do not see much of this, but many of us would probably have read about it, seen pictures of it. There's the water in the river, and then you can channel the water to irrigate the fields. So there's this river of the water of life. But there are a lot of parched fields. First, we experience ourselves, and then we must also open up the irrigation channels for the water to burst forth and flow into, irrigate parched fields. There's a lot of dry ground all over. But we need to always bear in mind that there needs to be a basis for the river of life to flow in and through our lives, and also for it to flow into the lives of others. So that's where we need to have a good grasp of this area of truth. That proper basis is the posture of God and truth. When God and truth is the primary motivation of our hearts and the foundational basis of our lives and church life, then it's like opening up the irrigation channels for the river of life to flow into other lives, into otherwise parched grounds. And the stronger and deeper the foundational basis of God and truth, the greater and richer will be the experience of the river of life, whether it be for ourselves or for others. And the other is, we want it to overflow from our lives to others. The more we want to be effective, then the stronger must be and the deeper must be the foundational basis of God and truth in our own lives. All this area must not remain just concepts that we have heard and we nod our heads in agreement. We need to understand what they mean and then enter into the spiritual reality. I sought to do what I can in a way which I believe is feasible for you to understand and to enter into these realities. The responsibility is yours. As to whether and to what degree the spiritual realities can become your experience. I will now make some concluding remarks on this subject. Aligning our heart with the posture of God and truth is the way each one of us, and also together in church life and expression of body life, we can best fulfill our part in the fulfillment of God's purposes. That is what motivated us together, that we can fulfill our part in the fulfillment of God's purposes. But the way we can, for this to become a reality, that each one of us and together, we must seek to know the Lord, what is in His heart, align our heart with God's heart, know the truth that He has revealed, align our heart with the truth. This must be our concentration, and to know how to enter into these realities. The scriptures emphasizes to us the importance of love. Primary importance: love God with all our hearts, love our neighbor as ourselves. and the deepest expression of love for God, as well as the deepest expression of love and concern for others, as well as the basis for true deep fellowship with God and amongst the brethren, is in the Lord and in the truth. All else is an illusion, deception, feeling. If we want to know whether we truly love others, we truly love the Lord, we have to ask ourselves, is it love in the Lord, in the truth? Or is it human love that is outside of the truth? Anytime our concern for others is expressed in ways that's tainted by anything contrary to the truth revealed in the scriptures, to that degree, our love will not be true love, our fellowship will not be true fellowship. And let us not think that these things are just things that we need to bear in mind, but it should not be so relevant, because surely I'm walking with the Lord in truth. Take note. All of us, in different ways, there will be intrusions of the flesh. There will, our hearts, in different ways, and our approach to life, different ways, will be tainted by the flesh, the ways of the world, the deception of the evil one, the weaknesses of the flesh, the weaknesses in our heart will taint various things that we are preoccupied with and seeking to do. We need to understand how to continually deepen the meaning of aligning our heart with the Lord and the truth, and God has the freedom to speak to us, so that more and more as we go through life, there will be the process of true purification, and that would result in an ever deepening fellowship with God, oneness with Him, and the river, the water of life, will flow in greater measure. So it's an ongoing process, the purifying process. None of us can say, I've already attained. We are a long way. There's a long way to go. Our goal is being conformed to the image of Christ. And Christ is perfect in all His ways, perfect in every aspect of His being and of His heart, as well as His wisdom and knowledge of the truth. But let us rejoice that this is what God wants to bring about. And as we align our heart with the posture, as our hearts are open to the Lord, God is pleased to bring it about. Let us also recognize that if we want to be effective in advancing God's kingdom, then the posture of God and truth is the most effective way to contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom, even when it may not appear to be so. Often we Christians want to do many, many things that produce visible results. Now we need to be careful. It doesn't mean visible results are no good. If we are truly walking with God, there will also be aspects that can be visible. But let us realize that many, many things that are truly important, they are taking place in the spiritual realm, is not always obvious. there are those who love the Lord deeply, who labor very hard for God in lands where it apparently not producing fruit, but actually significant things are taking place in the spiritual realm. And subsequently, others who come after them, there may be a lot of visible fruit. But there are those who have laid the groundwork, who have accomplished much in the spiritual realm, not immediately obvious, but very significant. So in the end, we have to concentrate on that which truly counts in God's kingdom. And we must trust God that He knows what He's saying when He reveals the truth in the scriptures, and be obedient, seek to understand His ways, walk in it, and trust God to bring about the positive outcome. Of course, we need to guard ourselves from being deceived, that we can be quite far from what God actually desires of us, and yet think that we are walking with God, and so all is well. When our posture is truly God and truth, then you will enable us to face and to go through every situation well. Surely this is the longing of every believer. When our posture is God and truth, there is a proper basis for true confidence in the Lord. At all times, in all situations. But that's what we must ensure. Is our heart truly aligned with the heart of God? Are we truly walking with Him in truth? Then Paul tells us, God always leads us in triumph in Christ. He will not be otherwise, and will manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ in every place. So that is what we need to ensure. Are we truly walking with the Lord in truth? We are exhorted to walk by faith, not by sight. And we know that as Christians, we walk in faith day by day, moment by moment, then that's it. Here we are talking about true faith. But if you pause and consider, then it is quite clear. What is the life of faith? The life of true faith is walking with God in truth. So if you align your heart with God, and you're indeed walking with God in truth, then that is the life of faith. We want to know how best to channel our time, our energy, our resources. Then this is the best way to channel our time, our energy, our resources. That is where our hearts are motivated by God and the truth that He has revealed. It is something that we can always check ourselves. How are we channeling our time? How are we channeling our energy? How are we channeling our resources? Is it motivated by our love for God and what God desires of us? Is it in the direction of the truth that the scriptures exhort us to walk in? And finally, we can say, the posture of God and truth, if this is the reality in the heart of a person, this reality in the heart of a person where this posture will be one who has responded well to the teaching of the Lord Jesus in the pattern prayer that He teaches us. And that is what I want to end the message with. The Lord Jesus teaches us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. He says, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be one. If we have truly aligned our heart with the posture of God and truth, then our basic concentration in life will not be on circumstances, or on what people around us are saying, or even what we think is best. We will always be concentrating on God, and our primary concentration will be on what He has to say and how to honor Him, how to glorify His name truly, how we can participate in the advancement of His kingdom, and that His will be done. And not only how we can contribute to His kingdom in the sense of what we do, but the deep longing of our heart that God's kingdom advances, His will be done, not only in our lives, but the lives of others. And wherever God's kingdom advances, whenever God's will is done, we truly rejoice. There's a deep longing of our heart. Continually, this is what consumes us. These are the core principles that should undergird all true prayer, and all true prayer is meant to flow forth from the burdens, the concerns of our heart. So the Lord Jesus, when He tells us pray this way, He's telling us this is what you ought to be burdened with. This is what ought to motivate you. What you should be earnest about. And if we have truly aligned our heart with God in the truth that He has revealed, then this would be true in our lives. And we measure our lives. We know how to measure our lives and what is in our heart by the true meaning and intent behind these words of the Lord Jesus. Then you will help us to have some idea of how we are truly living our lives and whether we are moving, living, and the motivations of our heart are in line with what the Lord desires of us. Let's now spend some time to prepare our hearts before we partake the Lord's Supper. Let us reflect over our lives. And reflect on what God has done and provided for us, especially what He has done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, the implications of His death and resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and how we can enter into and experience the life of spiritual abundance in the Lord Jesus Christ. How from our innermost being can flow rivers of living water, that not only we experience the blessings of God, but our lives can indeed be a blessing to others. Let's recognize that this is not something that we can do and bring about. It's something that only God can bring about. The true blessings and the river of the water of life flows forth from God. But we can order our hearts and lives in such a way that the Spirit of God can have this deep freedom to work in and through our lives. And let us pray that God will show us and we will respond accordingly in our hearts, that God will indeed have the freedom to work deeply in and through our lives. Let us ask the Lord to speak to us. Whether there are things in our heart that hinder His speaking to us and our reception of the truth, and are responding well to what He is speaking to us. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for all that You have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for inviting us to come to You in faith and drink of the water of life. We pray that You will do a deep work in each of our hearts, that we will not be complacent, but we may recognize that we are weak, feeble, needy people, and we need to come to You and drink. Not just once, but to keep coming and to keep drinking. That indeed from our innermost being may flow rivers of living water. That You help each one of us to experience the fullness of the Spirit, and that You will have the freedom to speak to us and also to speak through us. We thank You now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for Your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that You prepare our hearts that we will not partake in an unworthy manner. We pray that You help us to lay aside all that hinders and grieves the Spirit of God, and that there may be an unceasing hunger and thirst for the living God, and a deep longing, earnestness to understand, to absorb the truth You reveal in the Scriptures, that we can enter into the fullness of life and all that You intend for us in the Lord Jesus Christ at a personal level, and also how You want us to work out together in church life. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.